This is the Australia Report with Vic Aladev. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladev, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Just waiting for the end of the lockdown.
What is the latest with regard to COVID in Sydney?
Well, Sydney and Melbourne, which is where the bulk of the population mm-hmm. resides, are both in lockdown.
Right.
So about 70% of the population is in lockdown at the moment. Basically, each state makes its own rules. Mm-hmm. So Western Australia, which is over on the west, where Perth is not in lockdown. And Queensland, which is to the north, is not. And they're fortunate to have minimal cases at the moment.
Right.
So that's where we are.
Crazy.
But that's having a direct, well, for so many reasons, but what is being a hot topic right now is obviously Rosh Hashanah is next week.
Ooh.
And so, right. So some organizations are considering putting forward or have put forward applications to hear the shofar. Now, what that application would look like or the circumstances around that is not clear. In other words, how many people would hear it or where or how, etc., is not clear. But the notion of actually asking permission for that is itself generating considerable discussion within sections of the community. Some people saying the ask should not even be put. Others saying yes, it should be. That's what community wants, et cetera, et cetera. So it's causing.
Are they saying you shouldn't ask at all? Just don't do it. Is that really what the argument is?
Well, some people are saying just don't ask at all because it's not appropriate given the fact that there are deaths and that there are people can't go to funerals all these other restrictions.
Just to get a sense, there's no so shul services are not allowed at the moment. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay, so there's no shul services ahead of Rosh Hashanah. But now the debate is if you could organize for people to hear the shofar.
That's what some people are asking for, pushing for, right. to be asked. Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes. And others are saying it's, and other people are saying, well, it's, we shouldn't even be asking for that at this point. It's not appropriate. And different circumstances, apply in different cities, different states, etc. But that issue right there is certainly the subject of, some consternation, I could say.
Right. I think every community went through it. We were fortunate last year to be able to have services very limited. It was 2 hours, a 2-hour limit, and it had to be outside and things like that, but we still managed. This year, there is no limit in terms of our timing with regard to services, although I think there should be because I think it's awesome, but obviously very limited in terms of the number of people. So I think every community battles with it, depending where they are in the cycle of the waves, I guess. But let's just hope that they come to the right decisions there. Let's talk about Malka Leifer. Apparently a date has been set for her trial.
Well, a date has been set for a hearing to determine whether she should stand trial. So the date we're talking about is September the 13th, and this is a 5-day, what's called a committal hearing, and this is to assess evidence as to whether or not she should stand trial. So that trial would then be in a higher court. So it's the first stage of the legal process. And just to remind listeners, she was extradited from Israel earlier this year. She's facing 74 charges relating to child sexual abuse at a Dust school in Melbourne. And she's in prison. She's not out on bail. She's being held in a women's prison. She maintains her innocence, and she has requested and I believe received permission to not physically be in the court for this first 5-day hearing, but to do it by video. And the magistrate has said, given COVID and given it will avoid her having to go into a quarantine situation. She, I believe, has given permission for her to attend, to be in the hearing,
virtually
but
present,
by remote, from her prison.
So, yes. And the reason that they would have the hearing in order to determine if there's going to be a trial is for what reason? Is that back to the mental health issue? Is it to see if there's a prima facie case? What is the point of the hearing?
So I haven't seen the detail of that, but my understanding is that it's basically the normal course of events, given that she's maintaining innocence. So it's almost like a pre-trial hearing. So to assess whether or not she should stand trial in a higher court.
Right.
And as an interesting aside to all of this, her lawyers applied for release of the medical records of one of the three sisters who allege they are the main victims of the sexual abuse. And that one sister name is Dasi Ehrlich. She has objected to that, and the court has come down and said, we supporting you, Dasi Ehrlich. Your medical records do not need to be made public. So it was a interesting sidebar to
and you wonder where they're going to go with that, because that obviously is a bit of an indication.
Exactly. Yes, it would appear so. Yes.
Yep. And finally, Jewish school's former finance manager jailed for multi-million dollar theft. So we spoke about the incident. This is the follow-up on it.
That's right. We spoke about him before. So the hearing has just taken place. He was, he stole $7.4 million from Moriah College, which is the largest Jewish school here in Sydney. And that $7.4 million he was the finance manager at Moriah College. So, he's had his hands in the a pivotal place. And he stole $3.5 million via over 300 direct transfers to himself of funds, and the others by redirecting tax refunds. And he was sentenced a couple of days ago to 9 years in prison, 9 years imprisonment, and he pleaded guilty, by the way, to dishonestly obtaining those funds. He said, he told police that he gambled away 95% of that money. So that he didn't use it to go and build or buy a huge mansion, but that he had a gambling issue. And the judge says, well, a gambling addiction is not a mitigating factor in the sentence, nor a factor that reduces the moral culpability of the offender. So you got a severe sentence of 9 years, of which five and a half years is non-parole.
Fascinating. Absolutely unbelievable. And terrible that these stories happen, but they do over and over. It is as nearly 6:57. Vic Aladev, it remains for me to wish you a Chag Sameach, a Shana Tova, a healthy year for all of us, for the entire Australian community and country, as well as obviously the rest of the world. We won't speak to you next week, as that is Rosh Hashanah, but we'll speak to you the week after.
And Shana Tova, and a healthy, happy new year to everybody. Thank you, Howard.